Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.
This is Kevin Brooker. Welcome to Cruising Through Retirement. You know, when it comes to financial literacy, social media has really done a lot of damage. So today we're going to expose some of the worst financial planning advice that's going on social media. We're going to explain why it's so dangerous so you can try to avoid it. And we're going to talk about the influencers out there that really, they are not helping investors to save. We're going to clear it up today. So guys, stick around. We're going to give you some details.
Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. Kevin is an investment advisor representative with more than 30 years experience. He's helped thousands of people cruise through retirement, and he'd be happy to help you too. Stick around for today's adventure on Cruising Through Retirement.
Everybody, this is Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. Kevin, of course, a fiduciary investment advisor representative, 30 plus years. Kevin, hi, how are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. It is always good to be here.
It is, and we've got a lot to talk about this week, Kevin. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Oh, it's a busy world these days, and no question about it. No question, there's a lot going on in the news. And a lot going on with financial markets, too.
Oh, yeah. I want to start with the financial markets, if we can, and talk about the S&P 500. It's up for five straight months. We're into the quarter. It looks like it's going to be a heck of a quarter for the S&P, which bodes well for all of us at some level.
It does. It does, for sure. I mean, if you're an investor in an index fund, for instance, an S&P 500 index fund, then the first quarter should have been very good to you. In fact, this is the best. I believe this is the best first quarter in the last 5 years. And if you go back 5 months to October, November, cumulatively total, the S&P is up around 25% in that period of time. You know, and you know what? I was doing a little research on this, Steve. I always like to go back in time and look at what happens, you know, when we've seen this before. And going back, according to my data, going back to 1950, there have been 35-month stretches with the S&P up over 20% like we've seen right here. 28 out of 30 times the market was higher a year later.
And this is good news.
It's really good news. And the average gain was about 12 to 13%. Other stats out there going back further in history show you the same thing, a very, very high probability that this market will be higher 12 months from now. Double digits higher is where we've gone in the past. So if you're an investor, just stay the course. And if you see weakness, that might be a good opportunity to add to your holdings.
All right. Well, again, I like the way you feel, or like the way you just sound there in terms of the optimism. And, you know, like you said, it's the end of the quarter. I think it'll be an interesting second quarter.
Yes. You know what? Yeah, we're ending with the holiday, with Easter. Excuse me, with Easter. Good Friday, the market is closed.
Yep.
You know, so the market ends on Thursday of this week. And that's the end of the first quarter, I should say. And so it is very good to see a start to the year like we've seen. And it's very reassuring, because I think it shows you, you know, that everything is not falling apart, guys. All right. Depending on, you know, some news channel out there, I call it the anti-Biden channel, because Biden, you know, it's his fault that everything wrong in the world is his fault. They're going to paint a gloomy picture. And if you've taken your advice from them, then you've probably missed out on a nice bull market run. So I think there's a lot of people out there that want to be negative because they have a political agenda. But the fact is, the economy is strong. They just revised fourth quarter growth up to 3.4, I believe it was. Unemployment is still below 4%, which is we're running along some of the best economic numbers in the last 50 years. And inflation has come down considerably from where it was, you know, just a year or 6 months ago.
Yeah, but so, the prices haven't come down. That's my complaint.
Yeah, well, that would be deflation. I don't know if we're going to see the prices actually come down. They're just not rising. They're not rising as fast.
Exactly.
And you know, on the positive side, wages overall have there's been good wage growth. And believe me, I don't like seeing the higher prices either. Every time we go out to eat, I say, "Holy cow, $18 for a cheeseburger."
I know.
You know, it seems pretty outrageous to me. And I'm still trying to get used to double-digit cocktails. I mean, you know, $12 for a margarita.
Yeah, exactly.
I just, you know, even a little bit of salt doesn't really help me with that one. So
the S&P, that's a big story this week. Another big story this week, Larry Fink, he's the CEO of BlackRock, and they have about, what, $10 trillion of client assets for retirement. Yeah, so Larry Fink is saying he sent out his annual, you know, letter and to his clients, and he's really sort of sounding the alarm, not unlike Jamie Dimon or Jerome Powell, that a snowballing national debt, and he says it's more urgent than I can ever remember. Let's listen in on. This was his announcement. He was talking with Bloomberg when he made this statement.
The reason why I'm bullish is that when I read the newspapers every morning and listen to Bloomberg and other news organizations, it's full of scary things. We talk about the problems. Yeah. We talk about all the problems in life. But we solve problems through conversation.
Right.
And the one area where we have no conversation is the affordability of retirement and the whole concept of retirement. And we need to start a global and, most importantly, a national dialogue.
Can I afford to retire, Kev? I mean, that's what he's saying.
Oh, it is. It is. And it's a very valid question. It's a question, you know, most everybody has as we're getting into our 40s, 50s and 60s and beyond. And the answer is different for everybody. But one thing I want to go back to is the issue of 65 being the retirement age.
Right.
You know, I think part of that is what I'm trying to say is, if you tie that back to when a person starts investing, all right, if you go back to the days when most people had pensions, most people don't have a pension now, unless you work for a public, you know, government agency.
Sure.
Most people don't have a pension. But if you think about the way a pension works, when you sign up for the job, there's immediate money going into the pension with every paycheck. Every paycheck starting, you know, for these people when they're in their 20s. I have a fireman client. He started work as a fireman straight out of high school. He's able to retire at 42.
Wow.
All right. And they're giving, and with $1 million put away as a fireman, plus they're giving hundreds of thousands of dollars in retention bonuses. They'll give him $500,000 if he works another 5 years. So take a look at public service. If you guys haven't, if you're looking for, you know, if you're young and looking for employment, look at public service. Firemen do very well. Granted, there is danger, but it can work out well financially. My point being is that I think if most people started investing in their 401k and putting away money for retirement when they're in their 20s and they kept on doing it all throughout life, then I think you've got a really good chance of retiring by 65. I think the issue is a lot of people, they blow it off. They don't do it. They want to go on concerts. They want to take trips. They want to buy a new car. They want to buy a bigger house to keep up with the Joneses. And every time they get a raise, they spend the extra money rather than saving it. So I think if the discipline is there early in life, I think a lot of us would be much better positioned. So I'm saying let's not just blame the system, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. And I think when you talk about 65, that's one of the things he's saying, I think implying or inferring that the retirement age should go up. He says, I think it's a bit crazy that our anchor idea for retirement, the right retirement age is 65 years old, that originates from the time of the Ottoman Empire. I mean, I'm not sure what relevance that has, but okay.
Yeah, you know what? I remember that had to take me back to I had a class in Western European history.
Okay, all right.
That's the last time I've really thought about the Ottoman Empire.
Yeah, well, exactly. You know, it's okay. Not something you think about.
And I have no evidence that they said 65 was retirement age, by the way.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone even lived to 65. So,
well, yeah, exactly.
All right, so I don't know where the heck he gets that line from, but I get what he's saying. You know, if you just look at it from the last 100 years, you know, when Social Security was put into place in the 30s, you know, most people didn't even live into their 60s. And so the idea wasn't to be funding a 20, 25, 30-year retirement. The idea was just to try to keep people from having to get in the breadlines right after from the Depression and trying to, you know, keep something like the poverty, the actual name of the program of Social Security program. It's like anti-poverty or anti-elder poverty.
Yeah, that word is in there, yeah.
It's in there, and that's the idea, is to keep you from being impoverished. It's not to enable you to live, you know, live the high life. It's just to keep you from living on the street.
Right.
And so I agree with them that life expectancy has gotten longer, but I think there's too much. What did they say? Some of the Indian people, meaning Native American Indian, they say he speaks with two tongues.
Aha.
Right.
Well, I mean, again, yeah.
So on the one hand, you want to cut taxes. And on the other hand, you're complaining about the government deficit and the government having too much debt. Which is it? All right. We got to stop this nonsense about people talking about tax cuts on the one hand. And at the same time, they're saying they want to be responsible and reduce the national debt. All right. Treasury collection is the biggest source of revenue for the government. All right. So tax receipts, money that comes in from taxes, that's the biggest source of revenue. All right. That funds the federal government. So if we start talking more about lowering taxes, you cannot be sincere in saying you care about the national debt. It just doesn't work. And so that's one thing that drives me nuts. We got all these billionaires wanting to pay lower taxes, and then they get up there and they bitch about how we got too big of a national debt.
Sure.
All right. So it's one or the other, folks. And then in the next sense, they say we've got too much debt. And then they say, oh, let's pay for Wegovy and whatever these other weight loss drugs are. Let's have Medicare pay for those. Guys, Medicare is already going broke in the next 4 or 5 years. And we're talking about too much debt. Why are we trying to expand the program? All right, we got to get our we need to get our act together here and all get on the same side of the boat.
Yes.
And have a nation come together to solve these problems instead of being so divisive and fighting. Why can't we all come together and agree? For instance, like we've talked, Steve, before about there's an act out there that's called You Earn It, You Keep It. Right. This is a bill in front of Congress right now. It was in Congress a couple of years ago and they pushed it away. It's back again. And what it aims to do is eliminate the federal tax on your Social Security benefit check. Eliminate it. That's what it's trying to do. And the way that it would pay for that, so that everybody's Social Security benefits would be tax free. The way it would pay for that is by making high income earners continue to pay payroll tax for Social Security, because right now they cap out at about 170 grand. So once a person makes over about 169,000, they no longer contribute to Social Security, right? So think about all the millionaires and billionaires, Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos. These guys are making multiple billions of dollars a year, and they're not paying any more into Social Security than the guy down the street making 170 grand.
Right.
All right.
Exactly.
And that would enable everybody to get their Social Security benefit tax-free, and it would extend the solvency of the program for at least another 20 years. And doesn't that seem like something we could all agree
on? That seems a little bit better than kicking the can down the road. I mean, it's actually a solution that, you know, you've now got time to figure out a different solution if you need to.
Yes, it would give us time to address the other issues, but it doesn't have to be this thing, you know, because right now a lot of Republicans are talking about raising the retirement age, all right? Why don't we talk about eliminating the payroll tax cap? Make everybody pay the same percentage into Social Security regardless of how much income you make. So if you're Taylor Swift and you're going to pull in $1 billion this year, you got to pay the same Social Security percentage as everybody else.
Sure.
And, right? If you're Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos, same thing, right? Patrick Mahomes comes to mind, the $50 million a year salary.
Mm-hmm.
He pays Social Security tax on 170 grand. All right. So that to me would be an easy fix to get this problem fixed. But guys, I wanted to bring it up. We've talked about it many times before, but a lot of people don't know this bill is even out there.
Oh, no, I still find that to be true because nobody's talking about it.
Nobody's talking about it. And for the life of me, I don't know why. We have 65, I believe it's about 65 million Americans receive a Social Security check. right?
That's okay.
That's what, like 20% of the population or something?
Yeah, it's got to be.
I mean, it's a big piece of the population, and most of these people vote, right?
Mm-hmm.
Guys, reach out to your Congress representative. Tell them to support the bill that will repeal the federal tax and Social Security. All right? It's a bill that's active right now, and you can go to ARP, A-A-R-P, right? And yes. I believe, Steve, they've got a spot right on their website to make it really easy.
Sure. They've got a a category called Social Security. You get into there, and then it has a little letter that you can just basically fill out, and it goes straight to, because it goes by zip code, so it knows where you are, and goes right to the right people.
There you go. Guys, take action. You can repeal the tax on Social Security. It won't cost the program a dime, and it'll extend its solvency for another 20 years. Seems like a very easy fix to me that should have bipartisan support.
I think so, too. And so we're going to get into some social media stuff. Kevin, I know you're not a big social media guy. I'm not particularly either, but it's certainly a factor that has to be considered. And what's happening today is people are looking to places like Instagram and Facebook and TikTok in particular, as a source for financial information. I mean, you know, you look at this, TikTok's finance influencers, may be misleading. They also found that more than half, 52% of the influencer accounts they'd analyzed posted at least one misleading video. Well, goodness. Because everything's true on the internet, right?
Oh, God, yeah. Yes. Yeah. And I was shocked. At seeing this and reading some of this information we're going to cover here.
Yeah.
I had no idea this was even out there.
Let's jump in. 401ks. There is a growing sort of contingent of people out there on social media, primarily TikTok. We went out and did just a basic search and put together a list or a montage of what they're saying about the 401k.
401k is the biggest scam in America.
401ks are a scam.
401ks are the worst investment.
Screw the 401k.
The most idiots out there. Like, oh, I have a 401k. Well, you've been sold a bill of goods, sweetheart.
401ks are just there to keep people at work, not break financial freedom.
Uh-oh, I better do something different.
Oh, my gosh. Guys, don't listen to these people.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Don't listen to these people. They've got an agenda, and it's not about helping you. It's about helping them, all right? They're just, I guarantee you, they're trying to get whatever money you put in a 401k. They're trying to get you to send it to them. So don't listen to them. 401ks are tremendous vehicles because it makes it so easy to save for the future once you get signed up and into the program, because it's automatic, comes out of your paycheck before you even see it. So, and you can do it on a tax-deferred basis. So the money that you would use to pay taxes can instead continue to grow inside of a tax-deferred account. And there's all sorts of research out there that shows you if you keep that money in the account growing tax-deferred, you'll wind up with a larger sum over time than if you had taken it out and paid the taxes along the way. So don't listen to these knuckleheads that are out there. Anybody with an internet connection and a microphone can have a podcast. Right? And
yes, of course.
And they can call themselves an influencer, right? It's like everybody and their brother has a podcast now. I just think there's a lot of craziness. It's like the Wild Wild West out there.
Well, and, it is. And there's no regulation. There's nobody checking these folks. And I mean, you know, Kevin, in your case, you're an independent fiduciary advisor, and you've been doing this for, 30 plus years. You can't just arbitrarily say a 401k is bad or a 401k is good.
No.
I mean, you just can't say things like that.
No, I am the anybody that's a licensed, financial advisor or investment advisor such as myself, we are very, very highly regulated in this industry because we're dealing with people's money. We're dealing with their life savings. We can't just say things out of the side of our mouth just to try to attract more listeners. All right. They have to be based in fact, and we have to be able to support what we say. And if you're hearing people make these outrageous claims, to me, the best thing you can do is just turn it off. All right. Find a legitimate, reputable source that you know has your best interest at heart. That's why we talk about fiduciary. Right. Ask one of these influencers if they're a fiduciary. I'll bet you half of them don't even know what the word means.
I would guess.
Right. If you're a fiduciary, you have to put the interest of the client first, ahead of your own interest, ahead of your customer, ahead of your firm, your company. The customer comes first, period. And guys, everybody does not operate to that standard. That's one of the things that's messed up in this country, in my view, is that we don't have an even level set of rules, right? Because some people act as a fiduciary and they swear an oath to uphold the fiduciary responsibility, but others don't. They adhere to a suitability standard, which is a lower standard. So it's really important to know who you're working with, because if they really have your back, they should be a fiduciary.
Yes, of course. And the one of the other things that let's talk about this for a second. Influencer, the term in and of itself, I find it kind of annoying, because who says so? Yes. They say so. But right. what I think is interesting is they use the term influencer. They don't say expert. They don't say professional. They don't say trained. They say, oh, I'm an influencer. And yeah, that's how they get away with it.
That is how they get away with it. And that's, you know, I've had, well, ever since I've been in the business, you know, newsletter writers. Newsletter writers are typically not licensed. They're not registered as advisors with any government agency. They can, and for the entire time I've been in business, 30 plus years, they send out these sensational newsletters with all these hyperbolic words to try to get you to invest and send them money. Usually it's a pump and dump scheme. And to refresh you guys' memory, if you're not familiar with that, that is a situation where individuals or a group of people at a company, they load up on a low price stock with a small float, which means that it's a very, very small company and they can control a lot of shares. So they'll buy a lot of shares, and this is something could be trading 50 cents or 75 cents or a dollar, $2, low price stocks. They will load up on low price shares, and that's okay. And this is the part where they accumulate it. Then they have their brokers get on the phone. They have newsletter writers send out articles. They pay writers to write favorable articles to try to pump the stock up so that then they can dump it to those, you know, what do we call the victims in the scam? These the mark.
Is that the mark? Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Right. So they can dump it on all the marks that they've conned, and that's where they make their money. They don't care about you making money. They want to make money, and they're looking for a sucker to do that with. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think that for some reason, a lot of common sense seems to have just gone out the window with the age of social media and the internet.
Yes.
And, you know, because back in the day when I grew up, if an article was in a newspaper or there was a story on the news on television, you know, there are standards that they have to follow, right? In terms of honesty and accuracy and things like that. But they don't seem to exist in the social media world. And the responsibility for having fact-based, truthful articles, evidence-based, that's how they get around it with social media. I can't think of the code, but that's how they get around it. And that's how
of
there's
course.
so much BS that's out there on Facebook, and so many lies and misrepresentations. And now we got... Now we got lawyers for the former president arguing that election lies are covered under the First Amendment. And I'm like, really, is this what we want as a country? We want our representatives to be able to lie to us whenever they want to, and it's perfectly legal? I think that's abhorrent. I can't believe that, but that's truly what's happening right now. And so I think it's important with social media that everybody takes it with a grain of salt, okay?
Yeah.
These people, they usually don't have expertise in the area. A lot of them are still teenagers, for crying out loud. They haven't even turned 20. So I'm sure you can get good advice from some teenagers. I haven't met personally a lot of them, but I'm sure they're out there.
I'm sure they are.
Right? So the question is, can you really trust this person you're listening to? Right? What is their agenda? What's their motive? And I think if you look into that, you might want to step back a little bit. Guys, take advantage of the 401k. Especially if you have a company match. Don't listen to these idiots telling you that they're a scam or something to keep you at the company. That's complete bullshit, okay? Excuse me. But if you leave your company, you can take the plan. You can take that money with you, okay? It doesn't lock you into the company. That's ridiculous. You can put money into the 401k while you're there. If you leave that job, you can either transfer the 401k to your new company's 401k, or you can just transfer it, roll it over into an IRA that's self-directed, and I can help you do that if you have any questions. It's complete BS. It does not tie you into a company, but if you have a company match where they're generous enough to match your contributions, you 100% should be taking advantage of it as much as you can.
Absolutely. I like this line, invest in the rich and famous to get rich and famous. And what comes to mind, and it's very timely, is the FTX and the collapse of that crypto world, because it was celebrities that drove that. You know, you got Matt Damon out there saying, oh yeah, this is it, I'm the best. And I mean, all these celebrities were endorsing it, and it was a scam from the get-go.
And it was, I think Damon was crypto.com, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think so.
Was one there behind Tom Brady and his wife, yes. Giselle. Well, ex-wife Giselle. You know, they were paid significant amounts of money from FTX and Sam Bankman-Fried. You know, and you know, the puzzling thing about it is I have heard that a lot of people are actually going to be made whole with regard to investors at FTX. But Fried himself, he was just sentenced to 25 years in prison.
And that's right. 25 years. So, you know, I don't think that's long enough personally, but
I don't either. I don't think it's long enough. I mean, remember, he was also trying to use it to influence politics. He was trying to buy politicians as well. And, you know, so I don't know how they're going to get that, you know, recover that, claw back that money.
Yeah.
Right. But no, there's a lot of scams going on out there. And we've talked about cryptocurrency before. There's a bunch of them. You got to be really, really careful. If you guys invest in cryptocurrency, just understand you could lose 100% of your investment, period, full stop. All of it is at risk all the time. Okay, so don't fool yourself into thinking it's safe or it's a store of money or it's not. Okay, gold,
yes.
Gold, I would say, is a store of money. You can go back hundreds of years with gold, and it has slightly outperformed inflation. So it's been a store of value, if you will. But it hasn't you haven't really outpaced inflation by very much, though.
Right.
But it has kept value. You cannot say that about Bitcoin. Most people don't understand it. I don't fully understand it. I don't know if anybody other than these blockchain miners, I don't know if how much they understand it. It's very complicated, and it's very hard to say how much is it truly worth. What's driving Bitcoin is sentiment and supply and demand. We've got this upcoming, there's a halving coming up where they're going to reduce the amount of rewards that go to the miners. So in other words, the supply will be going down. And in economic terms, that should be favorable. That's what's been driving it up. In addition to all the new exchange traded funds, the ETFs that were approved in the last few months, I think they bought over $10 billion worth of Bitcoin, and it's only been a couple months. It is the fastest growth for any asset class in history, and that's a fact. Now, it does not mean, though, that it's not high risk. It is very speculative. In full disclosure, I do own some Bitcoin. I also own some Ethereum. But at the same time, I realize they're high risk. I personally am planning to continue to hold it for the next few years. And because I do believe that with the sentiment, if it stays the same, it could turn out to make a lot of money. But like I said, you could lose every penny of it too.
Sure.
All right. So it should only be a small portion of your portfolio if you're going to invest there. And realize this thing, it can easily move, you know, 10, 15, 20% in one day in the blink of an eye. And it trades 24/7. So it trades over the weekends. It trades all night long. All right. So there's a lot of differences between cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, you know, and stocks and bonds.
Sure. Well, getting back, things get complicated, Kevin. So survey says debt is good. Here's another clip for you. This one from Steve Harvey and the TV show Family Feud. I know what you're thinking. Well, let's see. Steve Harvey has some advice for a contestant.
Give me a milestone people achieve they can be proud of.
Well, one day, I would like to have no debt.
That's not going to happen. debt is okay. OPM, other people's money, is how you get rich. You use other people's money, not yours. That's how you get rich.
Is that how I get rich, Kevin?
I would say a big fat no.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I give that a big fat no. And this is another situation where I would say, why are you listening to an actor, comedian guy for financial advice? A game show host, right? That's who we're relying on for financial advice now. You know, that's like, why don't we just make a reality show person a president, for crying out loud, right? I doubt if that'll work. You know, that probably won't work out the best either. Anyway. I think that if we get back to talking to people that have expertise, okay, And what he's saying, the one thing I can agree with is that some people do think some debt is fine. I don't know if I ever like say debt is good. All right. Cause I simply can't stand the idea of making somebody else rich with my money. Right. And that's what you're doing. You're making the banker or the mortgage broker, you're paying their mortgage. All right. So I think that with mortgage debt, if you itemize, and that's a big if, because these days the standard deduction is big enough that most people, that doesn't make sense to itemize.
Sure.
So truly speaking, that mortgage is not deductible unless you're itemizing. All right. So you can make the argument depending on how you want to look at it, I guess. But personally, I think the best move is to be completely debt-free as soon in life as possible. I don't think there's any, I always used to be surprised when I would meet people that were retired that still had a lot of debt. I don't advise it. I think it's a bad move. I think it's just one more burden that you got to deal with as you're retired. And personally, what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to eliminate as much stress, eliminate as much anxiety as I possibly can before I retire. And for me, a lot that involves not having any debt. Neither me or my wife have any debt, but we also drive cars that are 20 years old. And I don't live in a $1 million mansion, all right? I decided a long time ago that I want to focus on things that I truly need as opposed to what I feel like I want. And I think that for me, that was a big change, because all my younger days, I always wanted the beautiful, fancy sports cars, the big, you know, multi-million-dollar homes and all these things. And that can be great. If that's what you want, I hope you get it. More power to you. All right. But for a lot of us, it's just not necessary. I can be perfectly happy in a $500,000 house. I don't need a $1 million house. All right. And I can be perfectly happy driving a car that's reliable, that doesn't cost me a fortune in insurance and registration fees, because it gets me from point A to point B. And so my plan is, as time goes by, I save sufficient money, then I'll go buy a toy. I'll go buy myself a little, you know, an old muscle car or something.
Yeah, sure.
Right? And I'll have some fun with that. But I'm not going to borrow money to do it. And so if you have a mortgage, try to pay it off a little sooner, right? Maybe add an extra $100 or an extra $500 to your mortgage payment, all right? You don't have to just pay the minimum. Try to pay it down sooner so you stop paying interest. If you're looking for some motivation on that, pull out your mortgage statement and look at how much of every payment is going towards interest. If you just took out the mortgage, almost all of it is interest. And that's what finally got to me. I looked at that and I'm saying, I'm spending thousands of dollars a year in interest, hundreds of dollars a month in interest. And I think about it, I'm saying, you know, that could be a car payment. That could be a second house. You know, there's all sorts of things. Paying interest is making the other person money, not you. So in my opinion, you're best off with zero debt.
Sure. Well, all right. On that note, let's wrap it up, Kevin. And it's been a pretty, like you, we started out the show talking about the week that was and all of the stuff going on. So, and as we end the first quarter, let's just give me some takeaways.
Oh, you know what? The economy, guys, is doing well. Stock market is at all-time record highs. The stock market reflects the economy. And I believe it's going to continue to stay strong. Like I mentioned, when you look at the research, when we've had a year-to-date start like we have with the market up 10%, we had 5 months, the market's up over 20%. Historically, that means we're going to be even higher a year from now. So stay the course and keep your eyes on how much risk you're taking. And if you'd like a second opinion, just give me a call. I'll be happy to help you out.
information provided is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. The covered material has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. There are risks associated with every type of investment vehicle. Please read the prospectus and risk disclosures thoroughly before investing. Insurance guarantees are subject to the insurance company's ability to pay. Neither Silverleaf Financial, Kevin Brooker, host, and guests are responsible for the usage of information discussed. Security and investment services offered through Silverleaf Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Please consult with an experienced advisor before making any investment decisions.
Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise to create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.